show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Which way to Technorama?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my Nyquil and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for October 7th, 2009. If you are a first-time listener to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I think Chuck sent me a virus over the sky.
I sent him H1N1 SP1. Now we got to get SP2.
I need a hot fix.
Yeah, okay. Last week I was pretty well medicated and barely surviving. But you know what? I still managed to get to karate twice and kind of regretted it, but had no choice. Because the karate black belt test is coming up and I have to go to every one of the required classes.
Well, you know, it seems like every time I get sick, there's something I have to do. There's no way I can just put it off. You know, something I have to do. I'm like, okay, you know, kind of drudge
yep.
to it.
I delivered yep. 4 performance evaluations last week while medicated. I'm sure those are going to come out well.
Can you sign this? excuse me.
You here. Did a great job.
Just to evaluate yourself, whatever.
Before we continue, we have to talk about our great friends over at Citrix who bring you GoToMeeting, go to a lot of places, and including go to Assist Express, the wonderful package that allows you to do remote assistance via the internet. A simple web browser is all you need to attach computer A to computer B and support problems on computer B. Names have been removed to protect the innocent in this ad.
Yeah. Something like that.
It's simple to use. Craig and I have both tested it out, used it. It's a wonderful tool for doing remote assistance. There's a diagnostic button that tells you everything that's loaded on the machine, services that are running, ports that are open, things you can exploit. No, not quite like that. But
it's great for tech espionage.
Yeah, the CIA is using it. Do you ever listen to the Spycast? Different topic. Look, a rabbit, shiny. Yes. I'm off topic here. You can try GoToAssist Express free for 30 days. In fact, I want you to try GoToExpress free for 30 days.
No, in fact, I challenge you.
For this special offer, visit GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. That's important. We've changed it this quarter. It's now October. If you're listening to this between October and December, it's GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. Right? That way, we get, you know, a check mark next to our thing and a gold star that says we're doing our job. You're helping support.
Good job.
You're helping support Technorama.
That's right.
Are we ready to move into the 1, 2, 3?
Let's see. Let me look. Yeah.
Okay.
This high-level math's tough.
1 + 2 = 3. I think it's a Fibonacci sequence.
Oh, my gosh.
This is getting bad. No, that wouldn't be 1, 2, 3. Trust me on that one.
Yeah. No.
Coming up in this episode of Technorama, we've got an oddity from Google AdSense. That makes sense. Ooh. A high-tech camera with an old-school printer. And Halloween is coming, and Technorama is here to help you get ready.
Yeah, don't be a Halloweeny.
Hi, this is Gil Gerard, and you're listening to Technorama.
Biggie.
The Dollhouse Podcast is a fun, informal, and informative podcast about Joss Whedon's television series Dollhouse, where we discuss everything about the show. We talk about the actors.
When I see them playing this new character, I believe this is a new character.
We speculate about the implications of the imprinting technology.
It's like a videotape. You can erase and record it. But if you keep doing that, it breaks down. Is the human brain kind of like that? You know, if you keep overwriting it.
And of course, we're chock full of tangents.
If I die, I'm going to be wedged.
Oh, who do you want to be imprinted on?
Somebody really hot.
So get active and tune in to the Dollhouse Podcast at thedollhousepodcast.com.
Now, let's rejoin our regularly scheduled podcast.
Welcome back. Hey, I want to give a shout out to the chat room. I think everybody's just changing handles faster than anything.
It's kind of funny
really
to watch, actually.
Chatting. Everything's just kind of green in the chat room. It's not green? Easy being green. Yeah, see, that on my client, everything's green when they're changing handles, black when they're texting, and red when somebody joins. So
that sounds like fun. What client are you using?
Ice Chat version 7.
Oh, I'm using Kaliliqui.
All right. Welcome to the chat room, Babblefish, Ben Vaughn, Captain Something, Deb Drop, Fun Thing Caft.
Fun Thing?
Fun Thing. I'm not even sure what the theme is today, but I'm sure I'll figure it out by the time we get to Zaha Something. Geek Cred, Nightstar, Something Fishy, Some Comedy Forecast, Something Claudy, Thingy Marvy. W something M.
This is something else.
Fill in the blank night. Name a verb. We're playing Mad Libs with the chat room.
I was gonna say Mad Libs. That's right.
We did that in Sunday school on Sunday with the third graders. It was great.
Yeah.
You had to fill in a Bible verse. Only they were. It was like, give me plural
noun. I was trying
noun.
To do it with hair. Well, we have one in the game closet, and Harrison was like, "What is this?" And we tried to do it, but he kept saying the same words. I was like, okay, but
doesn't
but,
work
but,
that
but,
way.
But.
If you happen to be around on Sunday night at 10 o'clock Eastern, we'd love to see you in the chat room, and you can watch us live on the web stream. It's interesting to say the least, both the chat room and the webcam. Join us at chuckchat.com/webcam Sunday at 10 Eastern. You can do the math to figure out what time zone it is from there.
Yeah.
Looking at the Technorama birthday calendar, we've got happy birthday on October 9th to Itsuko Rumki. Hope I said that. Or Rumki.
Rumki.
Rumki?
Itsuki Rumki.
No, yep. It says. Sounds it's even spelled phonetically. Itsuko.
Yeah. If you just look a little farther over.
Also on March 9th. March? I mean, October 9th. Mario from New Jersey. I saw M-A-R. All right.
Okay.
I'm trying to see. You're talking about reading over. I'm reading ahead. I can't do it. October 10th, two birthdays. Victor Cahill from Typical Mac User Podcast and Typical Shutterbug?
Yes.
Is that what it is? Has he got anything else going on right now? Just those two, or has he got something else?
He's probably got about 12 podcasts. I don't know, but I know he's got those two.
And on October 10th, Garrett Rafal. October 11th, our own Bruce Barr.
Yay, Bruce Barr.
The man of the voicemail talent.
Yeah.
October 13th, Jason Schwantz. Sounds like swans, but begins with shh.
That's what Why is said. Everybody...
they're trying to help us.
They're trying to help us.
Thank you. If you want to spell your name phonetically in the birthday calendar, if it's your birthday and we didn't call you out, happy birthday. We appreciate that. And if you want to get your name on the birthday calendar so that we do call it out and spell it phonetically and say it correctly, go to chuckchat.com/wiki, and we'll be sure to shout your name out at the appropriate time of year for many years to come, because we never delete anything from that thing.
Actually, what I do each morning, I know one of our listeners has a birthday. I just, when I walk out the door to go to work, I shout their name.
Suddenly, Queen comes to mind. Each morning I get up my wiki, can't barely stand on my feet. All right, that's enough of the singing.
Okay. You're no Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Don't quit your day job.
Have you seen me dancing around in a unitard?
Hey, Chuck's going to start a Queen tribute band.
You forget I was a child of the 80s. Listen to a lot of 80s music, and I can sing a cappella. I mean, falsetto. My grandpa, he had a falsetto teeth. Never mind.
It's false, all right. Okay, let's go.
Hacks and Stray Stories!
Oh, Lenny made it back.
No, that was a recorded thing.
Oh, it was pre-recorded.
That was from the Lenny archives. Couldn't you tell which episode that was from? Looking
213, I think.
This came into Business Week. Business Week says Google AdSense, you know what Google AdSense is, right? That's the service that puts things on the site. We use it on Technorama. Yeah. We make a few pennies every week. Where it says ads by Google, and they scan the content of the blog or whatever you're looking at, and then they put relevant ads.
In some cases, mostly respectable.
Yeah, mostly, not necessarily. Okay, so Stephen Wildstrom over at Business Week says, today, while reading an RSS feed of Gizmodo on Google Reader, I came across a curious item about a man whose family had placed his ashes inside the case of an old Sun Microsystem Spark Station. Nice urn.
Yeah.
Talk about magic smoke. Sure enough, beneath the item was an ad for Shine On Brightly cremation urns, plus offers for discount cremation. Sign me up. A San Francisco Bay ash scattering service and a company that will place your cremated remains in an artificial reef off Miami. Who knew? You can see the Gizmodo item on the Gizmodo site, but a much duller non-AdSense ads. You know?
Poor guy. His wife wanted to get rid of the computer and him.
I'm surprised. No. What do you do with ashes in an urn? You put them up on the mantle. I'm putting that Sun Micro Spark on the mantle.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
man.
That's a great place to keep your old... This was his favorite computer.
Actually, you can put mine inside a Commodore 64 if there's any room. Just kind of... Of course, they come out the little port thing, hole in the back.
Until you turn on the fan.
Yeah.
All the ashes blow out.
You know what? I love that scene in The Big Lebowski when Walter goes to dump the ashes out and they kind of all fly back in the dude's face. I've mentioned that on the show, I think, before. Just the look. He's got sunglasses on. You don't even have to look at his eyes to know that he's, like, perturbed.
All right, moving over to the speedofcreativity.org.
Yes.
That's funny.
It's just kind of funny. Over there, of course, maybe I should have pre-opened the links. Anyway, I'll read the article here. It says, yesterday afternoon or evening, our Story Chasers executive board had a retreat in one of the classrooms of the downtown Oklahoma City Metro Library. Well, when they were logged into the free Wi-Fi network, this guy was reading the fine print of their user agreement. Now, keep in mind, this is on their website.
Uh-huh.
And quoted, it says, printers are not directly accessible via a wireless network. If you need to print or save to a floppy...
No, if you need to print...
Email it to yourself, and then you can use one of our public workstations to print. Save to a floppy.
And it says, when was the last time a patron actually used a floppy disk at the OKC Metro Library? I'm thinking it's time to update the use agreement and replace floppy with flash/USB drive.
That's right. And he's holding up there's a picture of, I don't know if this is this guy, but there's a picture of this guy flipping through his...
It's five and a quarter. Discs. Yeah, those big file cabinet drawers you used to have on your desk. Looks like the guys on the label and on the floppy jacket look like the guys from Jib Jab or the cough the drops. The Mythbusters. Yeah, this is my Mythbusters 1.0.
Yeah, he looks funny.
Dude, like, I think...
It's funny.
I think next time we do Dragon Con, we're doing live just like this, because the pictures really speak for themselves.
Yes. Oh, yes. This is the way we got to do it.
All right, where are we? We are on Hex Slim PS3.
Yeah, now Ben Hex has been added again, of course, and which is always a good thing because it always comes up with some really cool products. Well, this is taking a PS3 and actually worked it down into a laptop type form. So it's all portable, has the LCD, the PS3, everything's built in.
It's a bit of a thick unit as laptops go, but it looks cool. I mean, his industrial design is getting better. I gotta give it to this guy.
Oh, getting better. I think he's reached perfection. I mean, look, he's doing this with just materials in his house, you know. And
I was going to ask, where does he get like the plastic casings for these things?
He's making it. There's a, if you flip down.
So he's taking a solid block of plastic and, I mean, even the graphics and things, it's just unbelievable. He must spend days just kind of going into Corel Draw and hacking out the graphics and then carving them into the plastic and stuff.
Well, I would go so far as to say if he's not employed by somebody for case design, then, you know, they've all lost their models.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he? Yeah, that's some fantastic stuff. Just to do on your own. I mean, he's got no budget and pulling off this kind of stuff.
Imagine what he could do if he
were lucky to have him to do this kind of stuff.
Where does he live?
Appleton, Wisconsin. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, maybe we ought to fire one of the people we got.
Yeah, I don't know.
You fired him.
But yeah, he's fantastic.
All right, we've got one more. This is a late entry from Charles Stell. Just came in about an hour before showtime, so I had to throw it in here. Comes to us from reghardware.co.uk or reghardware.co.uk. Depends if you prefer the English or the English pronunciation. This is a high-tech camera that uses an old-school printer. An instant camera paper. It says, instant camera photo paper is pricey, so student designer based in San Francisco has sketched plans for two digital cameras which physically impress pictures into sheets of paper. Okay. In essence, punch is a digital camera with a series of hole punch pins inside. Simply take a picture, slide a sheet of paper. Whoa, say that slow. Slide a sheet of paper into paper into the camera's special slot and then jam your fist down onto the side of the camera labeled punch. This action causes your photo to be embedded in the paper in a form like a screened photo in a newspaper. Four sizes of pin make your grayscale effect by allowing different size holes to be punched. The images, if you can call them that, are not multi-megapixel quality, but at least allow you to give friends an almost instant and unique copy of shots you've taken. And now they've got a slightly different one that uses a roller mechanism. It looks kind of like a hair crimper. And then as you roll it over the paper, it is. It kind of looks like that newspaper thing where they use different dot pitches to make a black and white photo. But you know what cool
it reminds,
is that?
You know what? I think it reminds me. It looks like ASCII art coming out or something.
Well, that's why Charles Stell sent this to us, and thank you very much, Charles, because, you know, we're all about punch cards over here at the Technorama Binary Studios on the one end of the studio, not the zero end of the studio.
Yes, we are. You know, I would love to have a digital camera that actually just printed out ASCII art. An ASCII art.
Wasn't there a site that you could upload pictures and it would do that for you? We covered that, didn't we?
Yeah, but, you know, what if you're stuck with no internet? I think it'd be cool, you know.
If you're stuck with no internet, you're dead.
You're dead to the world. I'm off the grid. But, no, these are kind of cool. I think, but it's kind of hard to see the pictures, so I don't know. But it would look fun. I would like the expression on people's faces when I took a picture and go, all right, that's
and
a good one.
And you handed them this smash piece of paper. Yeah. Bam! You hit your camera, and out comes a bunch of holes. That looked pretty cool.
Yeah. No, wait, what are you doing? Okay, I see.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with the media coroner.
Coroner?
Coroner, yes.
Who died? This show's dying.
This is David Levy, amateur astronomer, lover of the night sky, and comet discoverer. You are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Check this out.
A floppy disk or cassette tape is made up of ferric oxide. When a other magnet comes in proximity, it goes...
I think that's what I said, Chuck.
Thanks, Mr. Wizard!
The Google Web Accelerator.
The Google Web Accelerator.
Nope, no reverb on that one, buddy.
Oh, man.
Implying I had been surfing for 6 hours. Back, ye demon Google Web Decelerator, from my system and everything web connected.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
All of them.
And what's more perfect to start the media corner with one of those how it should have ended videos? And this one's for the Terminator / Back to the Future mashup.
Beautiful.
And I posted it on the Technorama site the other day. But I had to put it in the show also because this thing is hilarious.
Well, the premise is they said, you know, the Terminators have come back 3 times to try and kill my son, John Connor. Sooner or later, they're going to come back and kill the person who invented time travel. Yeah. So, who invented time travel? Doc Brown.
That's right.
So, there's this wonderful mashup flash animation cartoon character thing with the different Terminators and Marty and Doc Brown. It's awesome. This really is one of the better videos.
I like how the T-1000 sitting there on top of the
DeLorean. Punching holes in it while Marty's trying to get her up to 88.
Yeah, the guy that's doing the voice for Marty actually does pretty good.
He does do good. The Doc Brown could probably use a little work, but they
Marty.
Do.
Marty! Yeah. That's a classic, though.
Another classic?
Yeah, speaking of classic, here's another fan film. This one's based on Doctor Who called Alternate Empire. And I have not watched the whole thing, but I watched a few minutes of it.
I watched the whole production. Thing.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I watched
the production quality looked pretty good.
The story is good. The guy who plays the doctor looks kind of like Gene Simmons. He's got no British accent, which kind of goes against canon, but we'll leave it there.
Sure.
The girl is mega hot.
Hey, baby.
So, you know, just watching it for that factor is worth it.
You want time travel?
I got a TARDIS.
Yeah. Want to see my sonic screwdriver?
All right. Is that a sonic screwdriver in your pocket?
Yeah, he isn't British. That's what, Encaffeinated one's saying. The doctor's not British. He's Gallifreyan.
The set isn't your typical, TARDIS interior set. It looks more like Mr. Rogers kind of thing. But I mean,
yeah, it is a little toned down. But
the story's good. Part one is out, and it's pretty good. I will give the story, some credit. The guy on the planet looks more like he stepped off of the Star Wars set, but apparently that's the idea.
Isn't this based in the Star Wars universe or something?
Well, that's what over at Slice of Sci-Fi says. This week marks the debut of the fan film Doctor Who: Alternate Empire. The new 6-part web series stars Julian Bane as the Doctor and Caroline Moran as Samantha. Traveling through time and space, the Doctor and Samantha come face to face with a new alien race, the Kral. A powerful master race that plan to conquer a planetary system based in the Star Wars universe. Great, they're taking over Tatooine.
Well, see, I was expecting to see stormtroopers and stuff, which would be interesting.
The series promises to surprise and entertain all Doctor Who fans worldwide. And you know what? I'll keep going. It looks like it's got some merit.
Cool.
Also has some merit.
Excuse me.
Over merit. At Gizmodo. Yes. Lego yeah. Star Wars Flash Memory Key Rings. We've talked about the Lego Star Wars dudes before, right?
Yeah. And actually, I don't have my my keys with me, but I do have Darth Vader and yogurt.
Yogurt. You've been looking at the Dragon Con pictures too much, man. We had actually, some Spaceballs pictures in there.
Yogurt. He's actually a limited edition Lego.
Yogurt. May the Schwartz be with you.
Adorable.
I've got Darth Vader and Yoda hanging off my keychain, And I saw this one. Oh, I want to hang this off my keychain.
Because if you need, if you had Dark Helmet as a USB drive, you'd be taking up the whole side of your laptop. The laptop would be 4 inches off the ground on one side.
You know what? I would pay a hefty price to get the Dark Helmet Lego minifig.
You could probably make one. These are the torso of Darth Vader Lego and Yoda Lego and a Stormtrooper Lego hooked up to USB 4 and 8 gig drives. Or 2 and 4. I'm sorry. They're a little pricey. You know, $60 for a 2 gig and $70 for a 4 gig. But just the cool geeky factor, you know, you could probably swing it.
Yeah. Actually, Harrison brought me the minifigs from the Lego Legoland when he went.
Which minifigs?
The ones hanging on my keychain I was just telling you about.
Oh.
I got the Darth Vader and yogurt.
Harrison got you those?
Yeah, they went, you know, my mother-in-law lives in California, and they go to Legoland, which is the theme park in near Carlsbad.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I mean, everything, the whole place is cool. I don't know if you've heard about it. It is a theme park with Legos. Everything's made out of Legos. Even the, like in the water, you know, they have like
even the restrooms?
No, not the restroom.
You said everything.
Almost everything.
The concession stands?
Okay, now you're just mocking me.
You said everything.
Well, it's been a while since I've been there. Actually, they've got this really cool cityscape. It kind of blends from like New York to San Francisco, all these big cities, New Orleans and all that stuff. All that's impressive. They got moving cars and all that kind of stuff around it. It's really impressive. There's a lot made out of Legos at Legoland.
All right.
This should be.
I have a rant. Can I go?
I do you now. Yeah, why not?
What the chuck? What's up with that?
Okay, this comes to us from Tom Pose. He asked us to talk about driving, texting, and otherwise doing dumb things. This is from his blog, wonderful.blogspot.com, which is spelled rather uniquely. It's not spelled in the traditional way. wunderphul.blogspot.com.
Link in the show notes.
He said, I had someone almost sideswipe me over the weekend while I was out in a boat. For our Canadian listeners. It made me think about the following items I had recently seen on the tubes. And then he points to a link at NY Times video article on drivers distracted by technology. Another link from 3G, 4G, 5G, whatever it was. A film made by a police department in the city of Gwent in the UK, a fictional but too real crash caused by Welsh teens texting while driving. Have you seen that commercial?
No, I haven't. Oh, wait, I have seen that.
I saw that the other night. That is pretty nasty. And that's the idea, is to shock kids into, you know, not texting while driving. Anyway, let me continue reading. Why is it that we consumers, and he puts that in quotes, think it's our God-given right to do what we want without regard to our own and others' safety? Perhaps the same could have been said for motorcycle helmet laws in the U.S. until finally most states adopted them solely to cut down on the expense of medical care for those critically injured in this fashion. Idiots. The same thing for smoking. Sorry, did I slip in a subliminal political statement in there? The same thing for smoking. In that you can't in many places anymore, principally because of the direct medical costs associated with the behavior. Perhaps this will be the angle that will ultimately be taken in order to force us to behave like sensible people. California, where I live, where Tom lives, not me, does have talking on the phone without a hands-free headset and texting laws designed to prevent this. Mostly, I fear, these laws are ignored. I say this because I've seen a fair amount of tickets being written, but the practice continues. In spite of the tickets, other places have similar laws, and I suspect they are being ignored as much as out there is in the West. Since there is a direct relationship between the behavior and the ultimate consequences, e.g. the crash, the medical care, the lawsuits, it's only a matter of time before there will be a stronger set of talking/texting laws. A mandatory helmet law for our cell phones, perhaps? That would be scary for many of us now, wouldn't it? I am totally in favor of making a law outlawing texting while you're driving. What do you think?
Well, you know, Technically, I don't have a problem with SMSing or anything, you know, in the car. But,
dude, it doesn't matter. If the driver is doing it.
No, what I'm getting at is that the problem is nobody's going to care. It's still going to do it.
And if you make it a law that you cannot do it, and you make it a stiff penalty, and you crack down on it, maybe there's got to be some kind of sensor in the car that disables your data plan or something while you're in the car. You know, that could be done.
It could, but what if you're standing against your car in a parking lot?
If the car is running...
Like a Faraday
cage? Data plan is... Faraday car.
Faraday car.
Ride in comfort in the 2010 Faraday.
I don't know. Like I said, in the past, I'm a little hesitant to make laws limiting people's behavior, but I will agree.
If people are doing something that endanger others... Okay, go ahead.
I'm just saying.
We sound like Shatner and Nimoy interrupting each other.
Yeah. Listen. Actually, I don't have a problem with people using cell phones with a headset or something like that, but if you're trying to type, it is way too much concentration to try and do that while you're driving. Now, I've been known to glance down and see what an email was that came in, but I'm not going to try and I don't try to reply to them.
You're taking your eyes off the road, though.
Well, you're going to do that looking at the radio, too. But yes, you're right.
I will only do that. There's a whole lot more mental concentration that goes on while you're trying to read an email than glancing at a radio station and going, oh, 105.7.
Well, I'm not going to text message back. I can't do that because you're right. I agree that it's way too much concentration to try and type while you're driving.
Unless you're at a traffic light. That's the one exception. So maybe this Faraday thing only kicks in while the wheels are turning. So it turns out to be like this giant Tesla coil. While the wheels are turning, sparks flying off of your car. That would be cool.
But, you know, I think everybody that does drive, period, has the responsibility to be respectful for the safety of others, regardless of what they're doing. No, and you're right. They don't.
My 16-year-old daughter drove to church and back Sunday morning. She did an awesome job. She was fully attentive. We didn't even have the radio on. Okay. And and she did great. She's just starting. She's got her temps. She's going to take her driving, her road test in a few weeks. So we want to get her comfortable behind the wheels. But, you know, things like phone while you're driving, come on, people. You know, focus on the one thing that matters, and that's keeping you alive, your passengers alive, and everybody on the road around you alive. You're already driving a killing machine.
Big old 2-ton whatever, but I'm just saying, I think people have a bigger responsibility to be responsible for others' safety, you know, as far as you can control it, period. But I don't know. You're right. I don't think anybody should be text messaging, and they should probably outlaw that, but people are still going to do it, so I don't think it's going to make a difference.
Well, if you do, then you're breaking the law, which just brings to mind Judas Priest. Breaking the law, breaking the law.
Breaking the law. Yeah, anyway, you know what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I'm with you. I think I'm with you.
Then we agree. We agree on something?
Not really. I'm just saying it so we move on. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I do agree. I agree, and I don't do those things. I don't do those things because I have a big responsibility for other people in my car and people that are coming, you know, driving around me. So, yes, I don't do those things anymore. I did tweet one time on the way home. More than I should.
And what did you tweet? I'm driving on the way home.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
That's important enough for us to all know that you're endangering other lives.
I don't do it anymore.
Okay.
That's when Twitter was new and fun.
Now it's all about Oprah and Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, now, you know, whatever.
All right, looking into the Geek Library. Halloween is coming, and we want to get you ready. In fact, I think this is my next Dragon Con costume.
It should be. I did see one at Dragon Con.
You saw a Black Knight from Monty Python?
I believe
Python?
I did. Yep, I did.
All right, this is cute. This is just a little kid dressed up as a Black Knight. He's got one arm hacked off. Well, not for real. It's tucked behind his back.
Shh.
Holding the sword. He's got the black helmet, the crest on his black uniform. and kind of this fake cut-off arm. It's beautiful.
I can ask for candy with one hand tied behind my back.
I'd go out like this for sure.
Oh, I would too.
I think I would go to Dragon Con with no arms.
I'd do it with one arm behind my back and legs.
Little tough with the no legs. Hey, you know what would be
actually
funny.
What I should do is pull a wagon behind me with you with no legs and no arms, just just the torso.
You bring the wagon. I'm there.
Okay. I wonder if this kid dressed up like
that. What happened to our big inflatable Santa at the end of the parade? We seem to be awful volatile on our ideas, don't we?
Yeah, I got to put that one on my to-do list, by the way.
Speaking of volatile, which has nothing to do with the segue, the coolest picture you'll ever see can be found over at willwheaton.typepad.com.
Yeah, it's Spock pimping it beside his car.
He's leaning up against like a 66 Buick next to a
is that what that is?
Power substation. Well, according to the comments, I think it's a Buick. It's pretty scary. I mean, it's Spock leaning on the hood of his car like, live long and drive safe.
Yeah, I use fossil fuels, so what?
He was probably in costume, had to run out to take a smoke or something, because everybody smoked in the 60s.
Yeah.
And someone just snapped a picture.
Even in space, they smoke.
Because this isn't a marketing picture, obviously. He's standing in front of a power substation distribution.
Well, it also is not one that somebody just randomly ran up to him and took a picture and ran off.
Right, because it's not from eye level. They kind of crouched down at headlight level.
It would be funny if the license plate said ENTRPSE.
No, he left his California plates on there. It's PDL257.
Yeah, check, look it up.
Which, in hex, is 101. What are the odds?
Yeah.
Dude, that's scary.
That is funny.
I didn't realize
really?
That. Yes.
Wait a minute.
Yes, it is. I didn't realize that until just now.
No way.
Yes, it is. Right. 256 is 100 hex. So 257 is 101.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah. That's funny.
That's a subliminal message.
You're starting to scare me there. Okay. Moving right along is some Star Trek Lego ships, which are pretty cool. Let's see. These are fans of Star Trek have taken to playing with Legos. Imagine that. To new heights. With the creation of ships from several series, including Star Trek.
We've got the NCC-1701-D from Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
The 1701A, a Klingon battle cruiser, a bird of prey, Romulan warbirds, you name it. We even got the Defiant and a runabout and a Jem'Hadar fighter.
Yeah, and visit the link that's at the bottom of that article I linked to, and you can see all the ships. Yeah, there's the Defiant. There's the Borg cube. There's the couple of shuttlecrafts. It's pretty cool.
Speaking of Star Trek, since we're on a Star Trek theme with Spock and his 101 license plate.
Oh, wait a minute. There's Chekhov and Khan at the
what?
I just saw that.
Go
visit
there.
The link real quick.
On
go
the Trek the Today thing?
You know, with the Legos? Yes, yes, yes. Click on that. Mm-hmm. Go to the bottom article. Click on the next link.
Fandom or Lego ships?
The Slippery Brick.
Slippery Brick. That doesn't sound right. Wasn't he a member of Jay Giles' band?
Yeah, Slipper Brick.
Oh, shuttlecraft, Klingon, Romulan. Oh, they got the jellyfish in there. We saw that before.
Yep. Yeah, we have. Go to the very
bottom. Who is that? Khan lifting up?
Chekhov.
It doesn't even look like Legos. It looks more like those bad rendering when they didn't have a whole lot of triangles on the graphics.
Yeah. I like his face, though, the mouth.
He looks like a robot chicken mouth.
Like he's holding up, this is City Alpha 5.
Continuing on our Star Trek theme, which we seem to do a lot of on this show, the Navy's Future Command Center makes Star Trek a reality. You know how on the bridge of the Enterprise D, You got the
Wait, they have a spaceship?
The big view screen? Right, right. The Navy is in space. But you know, Star Trek is based on the Navy,
yeah.
Right?
Hey, so, they even got it complete with the red shirt guy down at the bottom.
You're gonna die. You're gonna don't beam down to the planet.
We don't know how, but you're gonna die.
Kirk, Chekhov, Kirk, Sulu, and Olson. Which one's gonna die?
Anyway, go look at this video, or there's even a video down there demonstrating some of the technologies they're using. But yeah, they got a command center with a nice
135-inch view screen, huge multi-touch screen desks, and fancy equipment and screens being scattered all over the darn place. Essentially, it looks like the future.
Mm-hmm.
That is way cool. And then they've got a conference room with a huge screen TV. Which reminds me, you know, somebody at work who is not technical, she's actually in accounting, said she was reading through the newspaper and said, OLED. You know what OLED means, right?
Yes.
That's the new displays they've got for, like, cell phones and things. What's it stand for, Craig?
It's like organic LED.
Oh, what does that mean? It was grown without pesticides?
Yeah.
That's what she said. Okay. What is OLED? And I went, organic LED.
That's what she said.
That's right.
Now, organic LEDs are organic light emitting diodes.
And the organic part means?
They usually contain
they're pound more expensive.
Now, here you go. I'm trying to read it to you, man. It's a layer composed of film organic compounds. It contains a polymer substance that allows suitable organic compounds to be deposited. They are deposited in rows and columns on the flat carrier by a simple printing process, and the resulting matrix of pixels can emit light in different colors.
You ruined the whole joke. It was the whole organic part. It's more expensive, and it's grown without pesticides.
It's green.
I don't know, but it's green.
Yeah. But anyway, go look, and I'll put the link to the CNET article actually talking about the Navy's new command center of the future, and there's some really cool stuff in there.
Last,
which kind of goes over a little bit what they alluded to in the Gizmodo article. So
The chat room is trying to figure out Yo LEDs. They're hip and they're cool. OLED, Tele OLED. At first I thought that said Timothy O'Leary.
I was going to say the same thing. I was waiting for you to shut up so I could say it.
That's really scary if we have the same thought like that.
I was like, okay, where's his chance? He's going to be quiet. Oh, he broke my joke. Oh, well.
Swiped right out. It's like there's this Wi-Fi connection between our brains, between Wisconsin and South Carolina. That's okay, really that scary. Last article in the show notes, why we really want to go back to the moon. From Scientific
American.
Harvest
cheese.
We already talked about that.
Sorry, go ahead.
This year marked the 40th anniversary of two momentous events related to space exploration. One, the Apollo 11 moon landing on July 20th, 1969, was hallmarked as a technological achievement. The other, the complete first run of Stanley Kubrick's remarkable movie, 2001, A Space Odyssey. And I'm thinking about Clinton doing his thing at Dragon Con. If you didn't listen to that, go back and listen.
Yeah.
Vividly depicted by Arthur C. Clarke, vividly depicted Arthur C. Clarke's vision of humans traveling the solar system with abandon. And we've abandoned all hope for this show.
Hey, let's go to Saturn station.
So, why did we really want to go back to the moon? Take it away, Craig.
Oh, I thought you read the article. I just stuck it in there because it looked cool.
Wow.
Back to the related Fury reporting.
Fail.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. Let me see. Let me skip to the end, read the last paragraph.
As a 15-year-old, I found 1969 moon landing enthralling. I also charted the entire Apollo missions, but built scale models and dreamed of being the first Canadian astronaut. Humankind's travels promised to propel science forward. But since then, my perception of the proper role for human space exploration has changed. I would still jump at the chance to go into space, but now I recognize I testified to Congress almost a decade ago, coincidentally along with Buzz Aldrin from Apollo 11, that doing so would be for the adventure, not for advancing science. The most scientifically exciting knowledge we can gain about the universe and the solar system will involve unmanned space vehicles, robotic devices, and a lot less money than lofting Americans beyond Earth's orbit. Human spaceflight has proved inordinately costly and far more dangerous than the Apollo program's success led us to believe. Moreover, the associated difficulties are far more mundane than TV and movie science fiction suggest. We are not held back for a lack of warp drive, although fuel costs are a reason why unmanned flights are so much cheaper. Missions that carry humans must drag along paraphernalia, that's hard to say, when required to keep them alive. The chief obstacle to visiting Mars is cosmic radiation. Really? During the 18 months or so that the round-trip journey would take, astronauts would very likely receive a lethal dose of radiation. Our ultimate destiny may be in the stars, but the limitations imposed by the physics and our biology suggest that the future, that this future probably is to be reserved for our mechanical progeny.
Robots!
Or perhaps for computers that can get organic life rebooted on some distant locale. Oh, there we are again with the organic life.
Maybe they got some. Maybe they harvest some OLEDs up there.
Now, this brings up a good point. Should we be going out into space? Did you read Michio Kaku's Physics of the Impossible? Right.
Yes.
Okay, it's been out for year and a half at least.
Mm-hmm.
We covered it in early 2008, and good book. Good book. I got to get Julie to start reading that again. This brings up a couple of topics. We lack the technology to get to other stars in a reasonable amount of time, so maybe we should just be sending out probes really fast because there's too much radiation out there.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you can actually propel some probes at a much faster rate than you could have with people in it.
As long, but it's still the what am I trying to say? The propellant, the fuel, the rocketry, the science is still way behind what we need to go to get anywhere in a reasonable amount of time.
Oh yeah, and it's going to be like that for a long time. But at the end of the article, like I was doing the Cliff Notes thing here and went to the very end, he was suggesting maybe doing something similar to the XPRIZE or something like that to get some challenges to get people to actually come up with some smarter ways to actually make it to the moon on a lower budget.
I'm not sure I'd want to go on a low budget. You'd end up with a cardboard spaceship.
Well, I did see Savage 1. Do you remember that? They did it on a budget with garbage and, you know, scrap.
And speaking of scrap, I think we better wrap it up.
Savage one. That's pretty good. Anyway,
you have one more plea for popcorn?
Yes, I do. If you listen to this within a reasonable amount of time, I think the following week after you hear this, it's going to be done. But my son is in a scout pack, and we are selling popcorn, and we would appreciate it if you're interested in buying anything. You can even make a donation and have it go, you know, a tin of popcorn go to a military soldier overseas. So please let me know. You can email me at, you know, craig@chuckchat.com and just put popcorn or scouting or whatever in the subject line, and I'll get a link to you to do that. And, you know, 70% of the money goes to activities that we do, which is this year we're actually one of the big things we're going on is going to the USS Yorktown down in Charleston. But we do other outings and camp and stuff like that. And so if you want to help out, let me know. I appreciate it.
Support scouting. It's a great thing.
Yes.
And we appreciate your support. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us and support us. As you notice this week, we did not have a listener feedback. In fact, we're rewording the listener feedback. We want to rebrand it. It's not just the listener feedback. It's more of a conversation. And we're coming up with different ideas of what we should call this. My latest idea is the Technorama Network. What do you think?
I was thinking like the Technorama campfire.
It's based on collision.
Well, the point is that you guys participate in it a good bit, and I don't want to make I personally, and I think Chuck agrees, that we don't want to call it just a feedback. It's not a one-way street. It's like more of a little conversation.
So, community, village, forum, feedback, but not feedback.
Flame box.
I liked network, but you guys come up with something. Throw us your ideas and let us know.
Geeking it.
Call in 206-202-2422. That's 206-222-CHAT. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. You can find us on Flickr and Twitter and all those other great social networking places. You can also visit the website, www.chuckchat.com, for all the forums and stuff, how to contact us, tip jar. Review on the iTunes music store would be great. I haven't seen many of those lately. I don't think... does anybody use Podcast Alley anymore?
What's that?
Yeah, that's what I thought. <I'm> Thanks to all the great people for donating their time and talent this last week. Mad Marv, he provides a whole bunch of great content during the week. You can find all of that at chuckchat.com/technorama. How obvious was that? Ustream provides all the great live stream going on Sunday night. If you happen to be around on Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, we'd love to see you there. chuckchat.com/webcam. We make it easy for you. And that chat room is provided by freenode.net. We really appreciate them doing that for us. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at farpointmedia.net. There's a ton of them, one of which you heard a promo for earlier in this show, Dollhouse Podcast. We played others during the week, or during the show in previous weeks. Shortcomings Audio, which is now called Happily Domesticated. Bet you didn't know that.
Yeah, that's good stuff too, man.
That is good stuff. All right. So, wrapping it out, until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
101.
Turn off that crap-o-rama!